I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here post a Falcons victory over the Cowboys. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Tiff, did you sign up for 4 years of service for the country while you're up there?
I did not, but I am grateful for the individuals that do go out and protect our country.
No question.
You know, I'm already through the gauntlet here when I work with these two guys in the morning.
You're already signed up for a tour, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much got that. Dave, when it comes to this victory, what impressed you more? Another great performance by Kirk Cousins, or was it the defense trying to step things up and getting some sacks, finally, three in a game this season?
Yeah, I think you got to probably hang your hat on both of those, Tiff. I think those are two really good points. I think that, you know, Kirk continues to be that kind of that guiding light, if you will, a guy you can hang your hat on, save the Seattle game where it seemed like he was a little off in that game. For the most part, he's been very accountable and a guy you can really lean on. Bijan Robinson becomes that guy that you, man, workhorse. He touched the ball, I think, 26, 27 times yesterday for right around 150 yards. He was dynamic. And you continue to see guys around Kirk making plays. I mean, Drake goes up the ladder early in the game before he went out with the hip and made a couple of big-time grabs. Mooney continues to make plays. Ray-Ray McCloud made a couple of really good plays, made the touchdown catch, but he also made a third-down catch that extended a drive. So all those guys continue to do well, and obviously the offensive line continues to protect. I think the defensive side of the ball, you know, other than the opening drive, and Mike, I know you're probably honed in on this too. The first, my key to the game, and Bo remembers this. I said, well, I think this is a good run after the catch team, and they're going to need to do that if they want to move the football, Dallas, because they're not running the ball very well. And lo and behold, the first three plays out of the box, they've got like 50 yards of yak yards. Mm-hmm. After catch, and then you begin to kind of rein them in a little bit, and you're doing a pretty good job. And then all of a sudden you get that last drive, and I know they're kind of trying to eat the clock and give yards and eat the clock, but I was a little disturbed by the last drive of the game. But I thought the defense really played a pretty solid game.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about that, Dave. I think if you take away the last drive and the first drive, like, the defensive stats look a lot better.
Yeah,
I'm with you, man. All of a sudden, Jake Ferguson out the gate turns into, Justin Jefferson or something from Minnesota. It was kind of crazy to watch. One of the things I want to talk about, too, and I hate that it's taken us this long, honestly, to get here, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. Seeing some of the managerial issues that the Cowboys are facing kind of, Dave, popped up in my head how good – Raheem Morris has been in situational football, and some of the calls he's made, some of the fourth downs he's gone for, it seems like he's almost batting 1,000 in some of these late game calls or situational calls. We talked about it this morning, the fake punts that have popped up now 2 weeks in a row that you've squashed, the fourth down stops. Raheem Morris seems like he's operating at an extremely high level, and I know you saw some of those same things yesterday.
Yeah, so I heard you talking about it post game, Mike, and it's a great point. The overall composition of this staff seems to be really melded together. I think that, you know, there's certain things that bother you. There's some shortcomings that every team has, whether it's, you know, your ability to stop that short passing game or toss up the run game consistently. They're getting some yardage on kickoff return some. But as far as a unit with Marquise Williams and Jimmy Lake and, of course, Zach Robinson as the coordinators and all those guys underneath Raheem, Raheem's the guy that's standing up in front of everybody in those staff meetings and saying, hey, this is what we need to concentrate on. This is where we need to be. And so I would agree with you completely. I think that the way they're buttoned up on little things, and you and I both got pounded in our head as players, the little things are going to make what the big thing happen. They're going to make the big thing happen. And so if you're Natron Brooks and you're playing tight coverage on a fake punt, and you almost come up with an interception, but you also take away their opportunity to extend a drive right there to begin the second half. That's a huge play. Gives us a short field opportunity. I mean, those little things like that. Ray-Ray McCloud catches a ball, 3 yards short of the first down, and they're tutoring those guys, hey, immediately get north and south. And that's something maybe a second nature deal that receivers do, but they're doing those kind of things. It's not like, hey, well, you talk about that as a young receiver throughout your career. No, you've got to emphasize those things, and that's what Raheem's doing. I think you're bang on, Mike. I think he's done such a great job with the overall picture of what they're supposed to be, and they continue to execute that way.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the defense, Arch, because they held, you know, CeeDee Lamb to his second lowest receiving yard output when he's been targeted doubled more than 10 times or more or whatever, and I think that's incredible. But I thought that Caden Ellis and Arnold Ebiketie had their best games of the season. What did you think about how they played yesterday?
Yeah, the CeeDee Lamb thing, you know, CeeDee got banged up early in the game, so I'm gonna credit some of that to that. And even he was a warrior to stay in that game and fight because they didn't really have any offensive weapons. Ferguson was pretty good, as Mike mentioned, but Lamb really fought as hard as he could for Dallas to try to give them an opportunity. He even caught the late touchdown after his shoulder was completely torn up. But to give him some credit there, but no question about it. Arnold Ebiketie's been continuing to come on. We talked about him for the last several weeks, as you start talking about, okay, where are the sacks? Where are the pressures? Ebiketie continues to kind of hone his skill and what he can and can't get away with. And I think he's becoming a guy that you hope maybe he would become maybe last year, maybe just a little bit longer to develop here, but he seems to be coming on some. I thought the entire defensive front turned it up last week or this week. You could see it in Grady Jarrett's eyes when the flip of the coin, he was going to be a monster. I thought Goldman was pretty good on the interior. I thought Onyemata was pretty good. Street back on the field did some good stuff on the interior. And Judon, it looked like, had a little bit more pep in his step, maybe because of the guys around him were playing well. But Caden Ellis' ability to diagnose stuff from that linebacker position, he made a huge play in that opening drive. I know you guys remember after those three plays you talk about with the run after catch, he makes an unbelievable play on a three-count screen where he knifes underneath the tackle and makes a tackle for loss and forces a 3rd and 12, and we get off the field there in that opening drive, and it looked like Dallas was just going to go right down and shove it in the end zone. And Caden made a couple plays like that throughout the game that were difference-making plays that were either for a loss or right at the line of scrimmage that changed the chain situation, changed the down and distance situation from McCarthy to call for Dak Prescott. So I thought that he made a lot of plays, no question.
Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline with us, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave, it's been a while since the Falcons have had a start to the season like this. Could you kind of just give us a pulse of what it's like within the organization, given they're in control in the NFC South now, too? A lot of good things happening.
Yeah, 6-3, I think, Tiff. You got to go back to, you know, you hate to mention the 16 season because you don't want to, you draw any comparisons. This team has some of those. They're not quite as dynamic yet on offense as that 16 team. But you got to go back to 2016 when they've started 6-3. And to be where you are, especially what's happening tonight with Kansas City playing Tampa tonight, if the Chiefs knock Tampa off tonight, all of a sudden you look up because you got the two games in hand against the Bucs. You're three games potentially in front of everybody in your division. I can't remember the last time we were kind of in that position. Maybe you have to go back to 16. If you remember, that 16 team kind of stumbled to 7-5 by mid-December, and it was Kansas City that came in here and beat Atlanta in December and dropped them to 7-5. And then, of course, they got on that roll that rolled them into the Super Bowl. But those are great feelings to have, Tiff. The organization's excited. There's a lot of energy around the organization, a lot of energy in the city right now. I think the fan base is starting to kind of sink their teeth into, hey, this is a pretty good team. We need to get behind this team. I thought the building was really good yesterday. I don't know, Mike, how you felt about it. There's a lot of Cowboy fans there, but I thought the Falcon fans did a great job of drowning them out. How many offside or false start penalties did Dallas have? Those administrative penalties, you got to give the crowd some credit there on that stuff with the silent count and their inability to operate. I think there were 6 penalties that were pre-snap penalties on Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's a crowd scenario. So that tells you about energy in the building.
Hey, Arch, Bijan Robinson's got 173 touches this season for 935 yards from scrimmage with 5 touchdowns. He's averaging about 5.5 yards a touch. Is he going under the radar? I mean, shouldn't he be getting a little more pub? This guy's one of the most dynamic players and versatile players in the NFL right now.
Did you do all that math yourself, or did Mike
you know the answer to that, Dave? No.
There were a lot of fingers. There are a lot of finger counting this morning at 5 a.m.
Like my four-year-old.
Does he have his shoes off? Is he using his toes on some of this stuff?
I will not confirm nor deny that.
I don't know. Is he flying under the radar ball? I mean, you and I, we seem every weekend, And so I think we appreciate him here. Is he nationally being appreciated? Really haven't paid enough attention to the national stuff. And frankly, the national stuff seems to downplay Atlanta and has for years. And so I think Bijan continues to do what he's doing. He's gonna get the recognition. I guarantee he's getting the recognition from his peers, because there's been guys over the first nine games that are still trying to find some of their uniform. He's screwed people in the ground. The guys have lost shoes, all sorts of stuff, helmets, trying to find this guy and put him on the ground. And so I guarantee you, he's got the respect of his teammates. That's number one. He's got the respect of his peers would be number two. And if the media comes along for the dance, so be it. I think they eventually will. But he's doing so. How about, did you see the play Barkley made last night?
Oh,
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, as Olympian.
In the reverse jump over the guy. I mean, unbelievable. That's the kind of stuff Bijan's doing. And you know, I know Saquon's getting a little bit more love. He's been in the league a little bit longer. But those two guys are dynamic players. They're very similar to one another. And I know Mike's made the comparison. I have too. And you kind of reluctantly make it. But there was a guy named Barry Sanders that could make you miss in a phone booth. And these two guys are doing some of those kind of things. Now, they got to do it a longer period of time. But I'm certainly glad number seven's on our team.
Yeah, and to real quick, Arch, I think that you look at Barry Sanders. He was so good at doing a move that sets up another move, and that's kind of what Bijan brings to the table, to your point. One of the other guys I want to talk to you about before we have to let you go, Arch, Darnell Mooney. Not only does he have the five catches, almost 100 yards, I think he had 88 on the day, but the two plays on fourth down that I think were such big plays in this football game, both times Kirk letting the ball go before Darnell even gets his eyes around. And I think that when you're doing that, you've done such a good job talking to Kirk about this and your conversations. They are on the same page. And I thought it was eye-opening. Your conversation with Kirk after the game yesterday, him talking about Darnell was a pro's pro and one of the best he had ever been around in terms of being a pro and doing things like that. I thought that was huge praise from a guy like Kirk Cousins.
No question about it, Mike. This is a guy that you have to go back to 21, had a 1,000-yard season in Chicago, and then kind of was a lost guy in Chicago because of some of the acquisitions they made. Obviously, DJ Moore came in there, and he kind of became that second, third guy and kind of a lost piece. Well, here he and Kirk have melded together, and it's been fun to watch. I didn't realize Mooney was as good a route runner as he is. I mean, we knew he had great speed to blow the top off. He gets clean, and we almost saw him take a little short hitch route yesterday, take it to the house for about 80 yards. He does just an eyelash from getting that done. But his ability to run routes, and obviously the little rub route where he gets clean there, there's not a lot going on there, just patience. But the route you're talking about, the second third down he catches, it was a huge play where he runs a double move and then throws back shoulder. I mean, he completely screws the corner in the ground. I mean, his ability to run routes has been phenomenal. I think Kirk really appreciates that part of it. I mean, a lot of guys can run. A lot of guys can, I guess, catch the football. But can you put that other piece of the art together and maybe just dissecting a cornerback where he has no idea where you're going? That's what Mooney's doing. I think Kirk loves that.
Dave, as always, great having you here with us on a Monday. Thanks for the insight.
Good to have you. See ya.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.